All right, Legal Eagles, buckle up. Today, we're diving deep into Powell v. Texas.
Oh, this one is a doozy.
It is. It is. You know, if you're anywhere near a law school, you've probably heard this case mentioned.
Definitely a classic.
It's got it all. The Eighth Amendment, addiction, and...
A whole status versus conduct debate.
Right, exactly. So much to unpack. But, you know, there's always something new to discover with these landmark cases. So, let's get right into it. We're talking about Leroy Powell.
A man who knew his way to a courtroom, I'll tell you that much.
Over 100 convictions for public intoxication. Wow.
Chronic alcoholism, really struggling. And this particular case, he gets arrested in Travis County, Texas.
Fined $50 for, well, being drunk in public.
Seems pretty straightforward, right?
You'd think so. But his lawyers, they saw a bigger issue here.
They went straight to the Supreme Court, skipped the whole Texas appeals process. They knew this was about something much bigger.
The Constitution, right?
Right on the money. They argued that punishing Powell for his alcoholism was cruel and unusual punishment.
Violating the Eighth Amendment. So how'd they make that argument?
They basically took a page from Robinson v. California.
That was that 1962 case about drug addiction.
Yep. The court said you can't punish someone just for being an addict.
Ah, so Powell's team said alcoholism is like that, a medical condition.
A status, not a crime. They argued that fining him for being drunk in public was basically punishing him for being sick.
Right, like you can't arrest someone for being a gambling addict, but you can arrest them for, I don't know.
For placing an illegal bet.
Exactly, the act itself. So Powell's alcoholism was the status.
And being drunk in public, that was just the symptom, not a deliberate choice, they said.
I see, I see. But what about Texas? What was their take on all this?
Oh, Texas, they were all about the conduct. They said, look, being drunk in public is against the law. We got to keep things orderly. They don't care about the whole status argument.
Okay, so we've got a classic legal showdown here. Status versus conduct. And of course, the Supreme Court steps in.
And wouldn't you know it, it's a 5-4 decision.
Oh, I bet that got messy.
Oh, you have no idea. It wasn't even a clear majority opinion. Justice Marshall wrote the plurality opinion.
What was his reasoning?
He actually sided with Texas, said there was a big difference between Robinson and Powell.
How so?
Well, he said in Powell, the punishment wasn't for just being an alcoholic. It was for that specific action, being drunk in public.
Okay.
And Marshall argued that states have every right to maintain order, and this Texas law, that was just a way to do that.
So even though most of the justices voted the same way, it sounds like there were different opinions swirling around in that group.
Oh, yeah. Justice Black, he was all about states' rights on this.
He was known for that, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Big time. He basically warned the court, don't overstep your bounds here. Let the states handle their own criminal law. He was really firm on that.
And then we have Justice White. He added his own twist, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Justice White. He threw a wrench in things. He said, if we're going to use the logic from Robinson, Powell would have had to prove he couldn't avoid being in public while drunk.
Wow, that's a high bar to clear.
Right, like he was compelled to drink Anen, forced to be out in public at the same time. White didn't think Powell's team proved that.
So even within the majority, lots of different angles. But we can't forget about Justice Fortas. He wrote that powerful dissenting opinion.
Oh yeah, he was not happy.
Why was he so against the majority's decision?
He believed Powell's alcoholism absolutely made him drink and be in public.
Like he had no control.
Exactly. He saw zero difference between Powell's situation and the status crime that was struck down in Robinson. He really went after the majority, accused them of ignoring the realities of chronic alcoholism.
He sounds like he was ahead of his time.
You know, he really does. He was already thinking about addiction as a public health issue, not just a moral failing. Like, you can't punish someone out of a disease.
And it makes you think, how much has our understanding of addiction changed since 1968? Back then, things were so different.
Absolutely. Back then, nobody even agreed on what alcoholism even meant, let alone how to treat it.
The science was still developing.
The court even admitted that.
Imagine making legal decisions with incomplete information. Makes you wonder if Powell would be decided differently today.
Right. Now we know so much more about how addiction works, how it affects the brain. We've got brain imaging, genetic testing, way more understanding of the environmental triggers.
It's a whole new world.
Would the court still uphold punishing someone for actions that are directly linked to a treatable medical condition?
It's a big question, especially with all the debates about decriminalizing drugs and treating addiction as a health issue.
It's like Justice Fortas was laying the groundwork for those arguments way back then.
Saying, we can't ignore the science. We can't just punish people for being sick.
And if you think about Justice White's point about the burden of proof.
That couldn't avoid it thing.
Yeah. Imagine a defendant today walking in with a detailed diagnosis, failed treatment attempts, and experts saying they couldn't control themselves.
Would that meet Justice White's standard?
Who knows? Could it change the outcome of a case like Powell?
Almost like those concurring and dissenting opinions planted the seeds for future challenges.
Totally. Like they were saying, not today, but maybe someday.
Acknowledging the complexity of addiction. Maybe suggesting the law needs to catch up with science and compassion.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So much to unpack here.
Yeah, we've barely scratched the surface.
But before we go any further, there's this one point from the source material that really stuck with me.
What's that?
It's about how Powell really reinforced states' rights, even when they're dealing with tricky constitutional questions.
You're talking about federalism.
Yeah, that whole balance of power between states and the federal government.
That's such a core principle in American law. States have a lot of freedom to make and enforce their own laws.
Even criminal laws.
Especially criminal laws. I mean, sure, the federal government has its powers, like when it comes to interstate commerce or protecting constitutional rights.
Right, right.
But for stuff like public health, safety, even morality, states get a lot of leeway.
So basically, the court told Texas, it's your call how to handle public intoxication, even if it's messy.
Yeah, pretty much. They knew it was complicated, but they decided it wasn't their place to tell Texas how to run things. And that deference to states' rights.
It affects everything. Drug policy, gun control, you name it.
It's a really big deal.
You know, it's amazing how a case that seems so simple, a guy gets drunk in public, can lead to these huge legal debates.
Totally.
We're talking constitutional law, states' rights, the science of addiction, even what punishment is supposed to achieve.
It's a lot.
Blows my mind every time.
Mine too. Mine too. Oh, he laid into them, said they were ignoring reality, turning a blind eye to how alcoholism really affects people.
Like they weren't seeing Powell as a person struggling with a disease.
Yeah, and how it impacts their ability to control their actions. I mean, it really resonates with a lot of the arguments we hear today, you know.
About decriminalizing addiction.
Exactly. Treating substance abuse as a health issue, not a criminal one.
Like Justice Fortas was way ahead of the curve on that.
He was. It's like he understood that punishing someone for a disease, well, it's just not effective.
Makes you think, how much our understanding of addiction has evolved since 68, right?
Oh, tremendously. Back then, even the medical community couldn't agree on what alcoholism meant, let alone how to treat it.
So they were making these huge legal decisions with, like, incomplete data.
The court even acknowledged that.
Wow. Makes you wonder how Powell would be decided today.
Right. Like now we have brain imaging, genetic testing, a much deeper understanding of all the environmental factors.
Totally different landscape.
Right. And knowing what we know now, would the court still uphold punishing someone for something directly linked to a medical condition? Something that could be treated?
Especially with everything happening now, you know, those huge debates about decriminalizing drugs,
right,
approaching this as a public health issue.
It's like Justice Fortas was planting those seeds way back then.
Yeah. Like, hey, pay attention to the science, people.
Exactly. And let's not forget Justice White's point about the burden of proof.
Oh, right. The whole couldn't avoid being in public thing.
Oh, imagine today, right? A defendant comes in with a full diagnosis, a history of treatment that didn't work, experts saying, look, they couldn't control it.
Do you think that would change things?
It would definitely make you think, would that have been enough for Justice White?
Maybe Powell could actually be used to challenge how we handle these cases.
Right. Use the case that upheld the status versus conduct argument to kind of like chip away at it.
Focus on those extreme cases,
yeah,
where the compulsion, you can't deny it.
Exactly. And that brings up a really interesting question. If you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you couldn't avoid what you did because of addiction,
does punishment still fit?
Does it become cruel and unusual punishment, you know, even if it's not considered a status crime like in Robinson?
Wow, that's heavy. So it seems like those concurring and dissenting opinions, they really left the door open for future challenges.
Oh, absolutely. Like a little breadcrumb trail pointing the way forward.
They acknowledged how complex addiction is and how maybe, just maybe, the law needs to get with the program.
Yeah, catch up to the science and to basic human compassion.
So for our listeners out there, wrestling with these issues in their own practice, what's the big takeaway from Powell? What should they be thinking about?
Well, I think it's a reminder that the law, it's not set in stone. It evolves as our understanding of science, of society changes. What seemed okay in 1968 it might be completely unacceptable now.
It's also a testament to, like, passionate lawyering, you know? Even though Powell's team didn't win, they brought these crucial questions about addiction and responsibility to the forefront.
And those questions, they're still being debated today.
Absolutely. And maybe most importantly, Powell is a cautionary tale. Like, be careful when the law lags behind what we know about human behavior, about these complex conditions. We always have to reevaluate, especially with addiction.
Couldn't agree more.
We've covered so much, and there's still more to unpack. But before we wrap things up, there's one point in the source material that I just have to bring up. It's how Powell really solidified states' rights, you know? Even when those rights bump up against some tricky constitutional issues.
You're talking about federalism, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like, how much power do the states have compared to the federal government?
That's one of the fundamental principles of American law. The whole idea is states have a ton of autonomy to create and enforce their own laws, even criminal laws. Now, of course, the federal government has its own powers, especially when it comes to things like commerce between states or protecting constitutional rights.
Right, sure.
But when it comes to things like public health, safety, even moral issues, states have a lot of room to maneuver.
So in Powell, the court basically said, Texas, you figure out public intoxication, even if it's tangled up with this guy's medical condition.
Basically, yeah. They acknowledged it was a complicated situation, but ultimately they decided it wasn't their place to tell Texas how to run its own show. And that deference to states' rights, it has a ripple effect on all sorts of things. Drug policy, gun control, environmental regulations, it's huge.
It's incredible how something that seems straightforward, a guy gets drunk in public, can lead to such deep legal and ethical questions.
Right. It's not just about one guy. It's about constitutional law, states' rights, the science of addiction, even what punishment is really for. Mind-boggling.
It really is. Okay, so we've gone deep on the facts, explored the different opinions from the justices, and even considered how our understanding of addiction has changed since Powell was decided. But we want to leave you with something to ponder.
Remember Justice White? He said Powell had to prove he just couldn't avoid being in public, you know, while he was drunk.
Yeah, like he was compelled to be there, couldn't help himself.
Exactly, and that got us thinking. What if, in future cases, especially ones involving addiction, lawyers use Powell as a kind of, like, roadmap? Like, what if they really focused on proving that compulsion, that lack of control, just overwhelming evidence?
So instead of shying away from that couldn't control myself argument, they lean into it.
Right. Imagine expert testimony, brain scans, genetic tests, all this documentation showing years of treatment and nothing worked.
Really hammering home that point, that the person was not in control of their actions.
It'd be like turning Powell on its head, using the case that upheld this whole status versus conduct thing to actually chip away at it.
By focusing on those really extreme cases where the compulsion is just undeniable.
Exactly. And it raises such a fascinating question. If someone can prove, like beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they couldn't avoid doing what they did because of addiction.
Then what? Does punishment still make sense?
Does it cross the line into cruel and unusual punishment? Violating the Eighth Amendment, even if we're not saying the conduct itself is a status crime, like in Robinson.
Wow. That's a tough one. So we'll leave our listeners with this. Could Powell v. Texas, a case decided over 50 years ago,
way back in 68,
could it actually hold the key to future legal battles about how we treat addiction and the criminal justice system?
It's a question without any easy answers, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
But it's one worth thinking about. As we learn more about addiction, as our values change,
maybe you can find a way to handle these issues that's more just, more compassionate.
And who knows, maybe Powell itself can help show us the way forward.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Powell v. Texas.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you learned something new, or at least saw this landmark case in a new light.
Always something new to discover.
Keep those legal minds sharp, and we'll see you on our next deep dive.